وإذا قيل لهم لا تفسدوا في الأرض قالوا إنما نحن مصلحون.
And when it is said unto them, make not mischief in the earth, they say, we are peacemakers only.
ألا إنهم هم المفسدون ولكن لا يشعرون.
Are not they indeed the mischief makers, but they perceive not.
Join Maulana Zaheer Ahmed Raghi as he unpacks questions like, do your good actions allow you to judge others? Are you holier than thou? Wednesday mornings 9 to 10 a.m. only on Radio Islam International.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam International. It is now exactly 10 minutes past the hour of 10. My name is Muhammad Baam. I'll be your host this morning until 10 a.m. inshallah. And joining us on in the studio is Maulana Zaheer Ahmed Raghi. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you this morning, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah, Maulana, how are you doing this morning?
Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. I think every day has been a better day than the previous one. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, Maulana, you know what? Last week we were speaking about Maulana's experience, and last week we could still hear that Maulana wasn't sounding as great as Maulana is sounding today.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Maulana, we were discussing about the... In the Holier Than Thou, we were discussing some points, you know, in contrast, the qualities that we need to have and the qualities that Shaitan shows us. And in our last few discussions, we discussed about how Shaitan portrays a person like self-reformation. A person thinks it's self-reforming, but there might be a soaring rhetoric. And we also dwelled in last week, we did about the clarification, and we also spoke about variant views regarding the observance of protocols with regarding and different views that a person has. Maulana, today, just before we start, last week Maulana had a hadith that the furthest people from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Day of Qiyamah will be the Thar-Tharun. So we had a question that came about that, Maulana, there's a query, what or who is the Thar-Tharun?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Maulana, before I go on to the hadith that you are questioning about, I know I made a claimer last week that it is not necessary that we're going to respond to everything that comes out in the public during the course of this program. However, I think there is a need to clear our screens from some of the smoke that is around. You know, it's surprising how sometimes some people change gears or the color of our mast depending on the side of the fence we wish to be identified with. There has been an article that is called a nasiha relating to this program, and because it comes from someone that I hold very high, I feel that there is a need for me to respond to it. Sometimes we are either misinformed, ill-informed, or simply choose to allege that we have accused particular people during the course of this program as holier than thou. It is important that before we make any allegations against anyone, or anyone making allegations against us regarding this program, that we have been accusing people of being holier than thou, it is important that before we make such allegations, we must have complete information and knowledge of what is said on this program and how it is said. We must always be aware of fake knowledge, be aware of misinformation, or being aware of being ill-informed. For fake knowledge, misinformation, ill-information is more dangerous than sheer ignorance. In this program, firstly, we address ourselves. And in no way do we pass judgment on others, nor do we accuse anyone of being holier than thou, because that is totally contrary to the objective of this program. So in no way do we pass judgment on anyone or do we accuse anyone of being holier than thou. We have not and are not accusing any particular individual or groups of people being holier than thou. Yes, we are discussing broad-based principles. We are discussing broad-based concepts and principles relating to this mindset of being, this having this mindset of self-righteousness. However, some who feel that there is only a select group of ulama who have been serving deen in an unadulterated, pristine way, and others have been whatever. It would be interesting to know, how do we classify the statement? Because there has been an article where it has been said that there is a select group of ulama who have been serving deen in an unadulterated, pristine way, and others have been whatever they suggest. And absolutely, there are lots of ulama, and most of the people do serve deen, and they do take their guidance from people in the process of serving deen. However, to say that the others are not, it would be interesting to know how do we classify this type of a statement. And then together with the statement, pass judgment of guilt on others. In order to clear our screens of the sum of the smoke, let's freshen our memories. It may remove some of the smoke from our screens. What we said as an introduction to the series of our discussion, and let's freshen some of our memories. We mentioned that based on experience, based on observations of life and people relating to us as ulama, and I address ourselves, the fraternity of ulama, specifically in our country, I have said that I have come to this conclusion that many believe that only they are right and that anyone who disagrees with them is wrong. This conclusion that I have has every possibility of being wrong. However, it's necessary to say here that this is not the case with everybody. Most people do not fall in this category. I have also observed that some people live out their self-righteousness in a good and nice way. However, there are others who, in their self-righteousness, act in downright evil ways. We also tend to make our determinations of what is right and what is wrong according to our own preferences, our own interpretations, and without regard to other people's preferences or conclusions or interpretations. And we never suspect ourselves, and we only always suspect others. But the problem arises when our preferences, our interpretations, are incompatible with other people's preferences. So, in order to remove the smoke from our screens, we clearly said in our first introductory discussion that we want to address this in a very balanced way without making any individual or group a target of our discussion. So we had made this very clear. So to then allege that we have accused anyone of being holier than thou is simply not fair. However, in an attempt by any individual to correct anything said in this program or comment, it is necessary that such people have complete and correct understanding of what we are saying during this program. and the ability to distinguish between right and wrong is an essential skill in the life of a Muslim. It is basically the bedrock of our success in this world and the hereafter. And again, we spoke as an introduction to our talk right at the beginning. The role of the nafs. Often such distinctions are rooted in our conclusions of ourselves. And each person has an aspect of the self called nafs-e ammara bisu, which instigates us to commit evil deeds and which is exploited by shaitan in the battle against the believers and the forces of good. And we mentioned this. We then went on to speak about the categorized, we went on to speak or categorized our talk under separate headings. And this is what I'm saying now is very crucial in the light of this particular article that has been termed as Nasiha. We categorized our talk under separate headings and we said there are commonly understood virtues. And I'm emphasizing, we said there are commonly understood virtues. The love of Allah, reverence of people, inspiring gratitude, authentic leadership, friendly competition, giving good advice and nasiha, esteem, favorable opinion or judgment, respect for people. And we also said that these commonly understood virtues, which is the broad-based commonly good virtues, are sometimes contrasted with their subtle corrupt counterparts. We spoke about the good virtues, and together with that we said that these good virtues are contrasted with their subtle corrupted counterparts or opposites when instigated by the nafs. For example, we said love of Allah versus love for other than Allah. We spoke about reverence versus hypocrisy. We spoke about inspiring gratitude versus boasting. We spoke about friendly competition versus envy, which we are still going to talk about. We spoke about authentic leadership versus love of authority. We spoke about advising versus condemning. We spoke about esteem versus pride. So it is explicitly for this reason that we are discussing this topic with both the commonly understood virtue and the contrasted, subtle, corrupt counterpart. So, having said that, if one is not affected or guilty of the subtle, corrupt counterpart, if one is not affected or guilty of the subtle, corrupt, contrasted counterpart, then there is absolutely no reason for anyone's feathers to be ruffled. Yet, some people choose to highlight that we are only talking about the subtle, corrupt contrast and not paying any attention to the good virtues that we are also speaking of. And some people, unfortunately, grumble that roses have thorns. Let's be among those who are grateful that thorns do have roses. Let's not only look at the, you know, the bad side of things. We can complain because rose bushes have thorns, but we can also rejoice because thorn bushes have roses. And if we choose to only highlight and accuse us in this program that we are highlighting only the subtle, corrupt counterparts of the virtuous things, then we will say that if the cap fits, then we all know what to do. Now, regarding the allegation of a smokescreen, we have been accused of using this topic, holier than thou, to camouflage our own failings and guilt. Jazakallah khair for that observation. And jazakallah khair for that allegation, verdict or judgment. After being informed of this write-up, or so-called nasiha, I must mention that there was absolutely no need to react, but because it comes from a person that we hold high, I took the time and liberty to call the author of the said article. I took the time and the liberty to call the author of the said article. So the author may identify the failings or the guilt that we are accused of. And mentioning to the author to humbly assist me with this so that I may walk the path of self-reformation regarding these allegations. Unfortunately for me, the author was not willing to disclose or was unable to identify this. And I regard this as my loss. For certainly one is unable to always identify one's own flaws and weaknesses. We must say that being aware of a single shortcoming in oneself, being aware of a single shortcoming in oneself, is far more useful than being aware of a thousand shortcomings in someone else. May I at this point share an observation, which I did share with the author during my telephonic discussion. If this program is found to be inappropriate, as you say, is the article on Nasiha, when allegations are made without identifying, without substantiating, appropriate? Secondly, I also shared this with the author. Why the selective response? It would be good to have similar nasiha towards those who use vulgar, who use abusive language and name-calling against ulama or any individual. Is the silence an indication of tacit approval or alliance? In conclusion, I think I need to say this, that I am responsible for what I say, not for what people wish to understand. We are responsible for what we say, not for what people wish to understand. And again I say, it is intriguing how some people change gears and the color of their mask depending on the side of the fence they choose to be identified with. I know that this program is ruffling some feathers, and having this type of a program and not expect reaction is certainly being foolish. But if one is not guilty of having the self-righteous or holier-than-thou approach, then there is absolutely no reason to become agitated. If you are not guilty of self-righteousness, if you are not guilty of having this approach of being holier-than-thou, then there is no reason to become agitated or feel uncomfortable. Yet, those that talk of smoke screens have alleged and accuse others of certain things. Is this not exactly what we are talking of in this program? And you know, Maulana, it's so beautiful and good to be able to say thank you and express gratitude and say Jazakallah Khair to the individuals who have listened without judgment, spoken without prejudice, helped without entitlement, understood without pretension, and showed love without condition. Let me very sincerely say that I love and respect every individual or an alim. Even if we differ on some issues, it gives me no reason to harbor ill feelings against anyone. And even if I become the target of some unsavory comments, my feelings to such people is, I still love and respect you for the sake of Allah. This I say in absolute sincerity.
Well, we're going to go for a break. When we come back, we'll address the question that we posed before about the Thirtharun. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program, Holier Than Thou. Well, just before we go on to that question, there are some responses that we have here on WhatsApp. The first one, assalamu alaikum, jazakallah for the awesome program. Maharagi's program on air now and previously, it is all amazing and relevant content, really needed to address these issues, so much appreciated. Then another message that comes in, Assalamu alaikum, respected Maharagi. I say with much respect that perhaps it is not necessary to repeatedly explain your program and the purpose. There is always going to be negative comments and people who will misunderstand it. The program is mashallah, your perspective needs to be heard. Our du'as and support with you all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you as always. Ma, that's the two comments that we did have.
Jazakumullah for those comments. We make du'a that Allah maintain us humble and Allah keep us sincere in whatever we wish to say.
Well, coming back to that question that we were going to start with, the Thirtharun. So the hadith that Ma mentioned last week, the furthest people from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the day of Qiyamah will be the Thirtharun. So the WhatsApp message that came about was asking who or what is the Thirtharun?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Marana, in order to understand this hadith, I'm going to say a few things, inshallah. The constant need that people find today to post something out there and constantly need to feed people so that people may be consuming things. This sometimes, you know, we need to be so careful. This sometimes represent a spiritual void. And I say this on the basis of a statement of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu that's narrated by Malik ibn Dinar. And it's an authentic saying and a very beautiful narration. Umar ibn al-Khattab says, "Man kathura kalamuhu kathura saqatuh, wa man kathara saqatuhu qalla hayauh, wa man qalla hayauh qalla wara'uh, wa man qalla wara'uh mata qalbuh." Subhanallah, it's so profound. Let's just run through it. Man kathura kalamuhu kathura saqatuh. He who talks too much makes too many mistakes. The idea is, when understanding this narration in the light of social media and in the light of our situation, previously you had one way of expressing yourselves. But now we have multitude forums and platforms to express ourselves. Previously, by writing a letter, you could write your thoughts or whatever you used to have, very few ways of expressing yourself. However, now, all of a sudden, you have at your hands this power at your hands that we are able to express ourselves in so many different ways. Your tongue, your speech, your pen, your text message, email, Facebook, Twitter, WhatsApp. You have all these various different tongues where you can express yourself and put stuff out there. The possibility of making a mistake or committing a sin is far greater now. And the reward for practicing silence also becomes greater in the times that we are living in. It is clearly easy to get ourselves into trouble now by the volume of the anxiety and the anxiousness to post things. You know, I can speak for myself that no one is in a greater danger of that than me. And I've experienced this even in during this program and the mistake I made by mentioning some names. So I take full responsibility of that, that no one is in a greater danger of that than me. Whatever I am saying now is recorded. I am constantly talking to you and people who are listening. It's not like I can go back and take some things back. Since everything is a record and put on a public forum today, everything gets preserved. And the danger of making these mistakes become even greater. Because now I am stuck with you and the burden of responsibility of my words are greater. And the things that you text and things that you put out becomes greater, and all the prophetic traditions, the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he spoke of the excellence of silence becomes more and more relevant. It's not only about commenting on someone's statuses, but in the processes, very often we are victims of backbiting and many other things. So I'm just talking or referring to having your say about everything. To have a say about everything, whether you qualified or not, informed or not. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam spoke about three types of people not liked by Allah. Subhanallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi, and may Allah save us from that. Rasulullah spoke about three types of people not liked by Allah and by himself sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the first category of people are the Tharun. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked, who are the Tharun? And Rasulullah replied, Al Tharun are those who need to have an opinion on everything about everything. The Tharun are those who have to have an opinion on everything and about everything. Whether you are qualified or not, you just have to have your say. You have to have an opinion on everything. You have to give an input on everything. And really, we should really sit back and sometimes think, do people out there really care about your opinion when there is so much a glut of information? And Rasulullah said, the furthest from me on the day of Qiyamah, the first category of people that Rasulullah said are the Tharun. The reality is nobody cares about your opinion, or hardly anyone cares about you have to say something about what's going on in this part of the world or in that part of the world, in this community, that group, that person, this issue or that issue. But just our nature has become such that we must have a say. And we don't consider much of it. Yet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, together with us, has said, hastiness is from shaitan. Sometimes we are so hasty in wanting to say something about everything. So Rasulullah said, hastiness is from shaitan. Doing things hastily, saying things, not calculating the consequences, just say things for the sake of saying, just constantly putting out things on social media. When you keep on putting things out on the social and public forums, the volume of your speech, and I don't mean the loudness, sometimes it is also the loudness, but the quantity and the amount of writings and texts and posts you have out there, then naturally you are going to make more mistakes. So we have to become responsible. And here I have repeatedly said that I have to be more careful. So let's come back to the saying of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, "Man kathura kalamuhu kathura saqatuh." He who speaks a lot is bound to make more mistakes. And then Umar said, "Waman kathura saqatuh qalla haya'uh." This is the second stage. If you talk a lot, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. And what happens in the process? Your haya decreases. Your haya begins to shrink. And what usually happens when a person starts putting out too much? Do people gain respect for you or lose respect for you? Usually, they lose respect for you. So we're prone to make many mistakes. If our output is so much, and this results in the decrease of our haya, and then Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu goes further, وَمَنْ قَلَّ حَيَاؤُهُ قَلَّ وَرَعُهُ. When your modesty starts to shrink, then your caution starts to shrink, your filters goes away, and the modesty and your haya was your guard. Remember the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, modesty is part of faith. Now when your modesty is lifted, the filter is lifted. So when the filter is gone, it's just all over the place and your posts just go wild. There is now no caution in your input, in what you write, what you text. And then Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu goes further to say, وَمَنْ قَلَّ حَيَاؤُهُ قَلَّ وَرَعُهُ. When the caution is gone, staying away from doubtful matters and not maintaining that filter, what happens? وَمَنْ قَلَّ وَرَعُهُ مَاتَ قَلْبُهُ. Then your heart dies. So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, subhanallah, it's taking you from a place where you just posted too much, where you just text too much, where you just talked too much, to a place of death of your heart. So there is a direct connection with speaking too much and the death of your heart. Your excessive posts takes you away from the light of your heart, whether it's going to be good or going to be evil. When you put out something, do not become a means of someone to have doubts and waswasa. When you put out something, do not become a means of someone to have doubts and waswasa. Be responsible in what you put out there. And that is what we are talking of, the tharun. People that just need to have a say about everything, qualified or not, you just have to have your say. Anything that's said, anything that's put out, someone must have his opinion. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has warned that such people will be the most distant from him on the day of Qiyamah.
Ma, before we carry on, just want to read two messages that we have. The first one, Maulana, we ordinary people are listening. The radio is used to sort out all of the fights among the ulama. Each one reaches his own conclusion accordingly. Said times have come upon us. And then we have another message. Assalamu alaikum. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for bringing out the truth. However, most people can't handle the truth. Those are the two messages we have. Okay, well, let's carry on. We're going to come to the next qualities that a person has and he needs to be careful of. The one is friendly competition, and this goes up against enviness. Now, we know that when it comes to friendly competition, it's positive when a group of people strive together to achieve lofty goals, to see that the success of the minds of the competitors. However, when this comes to envy, that's when it becomes dangerous. What's the difference between the two?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Well, let me first, as an introduction, mention what do we mean by friendly competition and what are the offshoots of friendly competition. Competition is positive when a group of people strive together to achieve lofty goals. You call this ulu'ul himma. And they also wish to see the same success in themselves and among their competitors. This is what we call friendly competition. It involves using the natural competitive drive of a human as a cooperative and mutually beneficial tool. Friendly competition involves using our natural competitive drive, which Allah has given all of us, as a cooperative and mutual beneficial tool to overcome people's tendency to procrastinate, to be lethargic, to be apathetic. And friendly competition encourages one to be dissatisfied with your current state and to exert efforts towards greater and greater achievements. So when there is this friendly competition between friends, between colleagues, between people of the same profession, it encourages us to be dissatisfied with our current state, and it exerts effort towards greater and greater achievements. And it's a healthy means of continuous self-improvement between two or more people. In fact, in this context, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, خِتَامُهُ مِسْكُ وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. The last of it is musk. So, meaning Jannah, so for this, let the competitors compete. وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. So, this competition, this friendly competition, is something that Islam encourages. Let the competitors compete with each other. And perhaps the best example of such a friendly competition was between, subhanAllah, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. As told by Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umar says, ordered us to give charity, and at that time I possessed some wealth. And I said to myself, today I'm going to outdo Abu Bakr. If ever there was a day to outdo him, this is my chance. And I went with half of my wealth to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, what have you left for your family? And I said, the same amount, meaning half. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, then Abu Bakr came with everything that he had. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Oh Abu Bakr, what have you left for your family?" And Abu Bakr said, "Subhanallah, Allah and His Messenger." And Umar says, "By Allah, I will never do better than Abu Bakr." So it should be no surprise that two of the greatest companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the first two righteous khalifs, were in a friendly competition with one another. And Islam encourages this. Their competition, and this is crucial, their competition was not based on ill will, was not based on a need to defeat, was not based on the need to humiliate each other. Rather, they understood that in their friendly competition, they were helping to encourage and to push each other to achieve more and more. They probably would not have achieved so much good without there being this warm, friendly competition. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has also said, that verily, believers are like a structure, each part strengthening the other. And he interlaced his fingers to illustrate it. This is a hadith of Sahih Bukhari. So seeing friendly competitors achieve their goals also helps to dispel the limiting efforts that we see today. Competitors provide inspiration and they become role models for our own personal success. For this reason, it is recommended to have admiration, al-ghibta, for righteous Muslims of the past and of present. The opposite of that, Maulana, is envy. I sometimes call this market share. Jealousy or envy, hasad, is a negative feeling. And let's just draw our attention for our listeners that what I said in the beginning of our discussion, that we are talking about the virtuous concepts in contrast with the subtle, corrupt concepts. So let's not go for the thorns. Let's focus on the fragrance of the rose. So envy, jealousy, is a negative feeling in the heart. When one learns of another's success or blessings, then there is this desire for the envied person to fail, to be harmed, or to otherwise be deprived of the success or the blessings. This is very much experienced among professionals. You call it professional jealousy. However, and I'm saying this again, I belong to the fraternity. Among us as ulama, and especially in our era, this phenomena is frightening in the way that it is exposed and manifested. The reality is that envy is animosity and hatred when one sees the good state of an envied person.
So how does a person distinguish between the two?
Well, jealousy and envy are very powerful types of emotions. Jealousy and envy are very powerful emotions. They are emotions of malice that are directed against the personal identity of an individual. Jealousy and envy are powerful emotions. Emotions of malice that are directed against the personal identity of an individual, as opposed to hatred directed towards their sins in the abstract. We call this in, you know, sometimes in day-to-day language, play the ball, not the man. Right? So that's exactly what it is. And according to Ibn Uyayna, rahimahumullah, envy was the first sin by which Allah Almighty was disobeyed in the heavens by shaitan. It was also the first sin by which Allah Almighty was disobeyed on earth by the sons of Adam alayhi salatu wassalam when he envied his brother. Key distinctions. How do we, you know, distinguish between the two? Friendly competition can be distinguished from envy by examining their respective effects on the heart of one's overall vision and success. Competition results in admiration, which is a wholesome feeling, whereby one is pleased to see others achieve what one would also like to achieve. And in friendly competition, there is no real defeat in such a competition, even if someone does better than you. Because the purpose is for all competitors to do better than they would by themselves. It will always produce satisfaction regardless of who wins the battle. The vision of success is a win-win scenario because the objective is the promotion of Deen. The objective is the preservation of Deen. It's one single object, the service for the cause of Allah. In fact, there's such a beautiful example. Someone said to Qari Tayyab Sahib rahimahumullah once that another institution has been established in Deoband. Or wherever it was. Subhanallah. Qari Tayyab Sahib responded, if it bothers you, then check your intention. Someone said to him, he was a head of an institution. Someone said to him, another institution is being established or has been established. He responded, if it bothers you, then check your intention. If you are doing something for the sake of Allah, you should be happy. There's more effort of deen that's taking place. But if it's bothering you, then your effort is not for the sake of Allah. Yes, you will find two different approaches, maybe observed or practiced. There may be different feelings or opinions on which method is more appropriate, or different means may be adopted. We may have major conflicting views and approaches. On both sides, there may be scholars reputable who have differing views on the medium or approach. Do we then go to the extent of throwing those who use a different approach or a medium as devious, munafiq, and all the other labels? They have lost their way. They've discarded the way of our seniors. On the other hand, envy, by contrast, is a destructive feeling that provokes a desire to hurt those who are envied. An envious person does not desire for his competitors what he desires for himself, which is self-improvement. Instead, the envious want to see their opponents harmed, humiliated, defeated, and they will use every medium they have at their disposal to do that. Their vision of success involves the downfall of their competitors and what we call an uncompromising zero-sum game. And what do I mean by zero-sum game? I must have the entire cake. And therefore, I also sometimes call it market share.
Well, you know, when it comes to a very distinct distinction is that when they say between envy and jealousy, they say that a person, you know, if you have something, then jealousy will be that I want it. Whatever happens to yours, whatever you have that I want, and it must be taken away from you. And when it comes to envious, they say that whatever happens to you, that's what you have, what happens to it, that will happen. But we make dua that Allah gives me also. What can Moa say that about the difference between envy and jealousy?
Well, do we have sufficient time? I think we are really close to it. So maybe if we can continue next week from here, inshallah,
Moa, we'll continue again from here. It was a good program, inshallah. We hope to speak tomorrow next week again.
Inshallah. Jazakumullahu khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from harboring rancor in our hearts for any individual.
Ameen.
Muslim or not Muslim, alim or not alim, ordinary person or a learned person. The ayah in the Quran, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And that is the key to Jannah. And therefore we say that in spite of all the differences that we have, I very sincerely say that I hold in high esteem
every individual, every Muslim, every alim or non-alim. I hold him in high esteem. I love him for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah save us all from harboring rancor in our hearts, hatred in our hearts, jealousy in our hearts, envy in our hearts for any individual. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It brings to the end today's program. Until we meet again, from myself, Omar Zahir, and from my engineer, Brother Ziad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.